All right, so there you have it. Mike Rizzo gets his contract extension. We don't have to deal with any of this throughout the season. He gets it. He deserves it. And frankly, I thought this was coming when news leaked a few weeks ago that he had just bought a home around the corner here and had settled in nicely. So well-deserved extension for Mike. For my money, the best general manager in baseball.
Well, I'm guessing. I mean, maybe that's why he bought the new home, but I'm guessing, look, he's been around for a while. He probably had a home. It's just they're building up so many nice spots.
Well, he took advantage. Look, if this was a guy that was thinking his time here was coming to an end, I don't think he'd purchase a new home right around from the ballpark, the corner from the ballpark.
I had a feeling it
that was
it
a was, good sign.
I had a feeling it was going to happen at some point during the season.
Somebody tweeted us just before, is the breaking news that they are re-signing Bryce Harper.
That's not going to be.
That would have been a monster story.
That's not going to be as easy a deal, I don't think, to work out.
Right. No, but we will have the first interview with Mike Rizzo at 9 o'clock as he has been extended as the president of baseball operations and general manager of the Nationals during our In the Clubhouse segment with Mike Rizzo.
Yeah, it's very, very cool. It's actually probably the most critical signing for this organization. Not even considering the Bryce Harper situation coming up, because what he's been able to do with this team, loading up the farm system, the trades, just keeping this organization just stocked full of talent.
Yeah.
They could not afford to lose him. They just couldn't.
It's not easy to stay really good for that many years in a row. It's just not.
Right.
Not the way free agency works. And he's stockpiled. He's got a lot of guys in the minors that are going to be stars once they have an opportunity. So. It was big. That's a big story.
Yeah, big architect of this team's success. And while they haven't had the postseason success yet, I don't think you can pin that on Mike Rizzo. He's done his job. He's got this team full of talent. Now it's just up to the players to get it done.
No question. He's been helped early. Look, to have Strasburg and Harper be the core of the team early, having those number one picks helped.
Right.
But as Jason mentions, you know, I mean, we never know how prospects are going to work out, but you hear that they're ready, that if – Daniel Murphy leaves, and if Bryce Harper leaves,
they have
guys like Victor Robles that's going to come in.
Goodwin and Defoe and what they're doing now, making the club, and Defoe had a pretty good year last year.
Of course, they traded for Trey Turner, who's going to be part of this core.
Absolutely.
For many years.
The Daniel Murphy move, big.
Yeah.
Bringing in Scherzer, which shocked everyone.
So that's huge.
Big. So, yeah, that's great for the organization.
If you want to chime in on the Hadid Carpet Clean listener lines, 800-636-1067. I'll tell you, I got to the table late because Jason found a very warm area.
I found some heat.
At Nationals Park, which we can
go
into.
Well, there's a heat lamp over there.
Heat
lamp
is nothing. You go indoors.
Yeah, this is a room.
It's a nice room.
Right.
It's the locker room. We've been in the locker room here before.
Yeah.
The clubhouse. They call it the clubhouse, right?
No, it's actually a locker. It's a bathroom. It's a locker room.
That's different.
It's not the clubhouse where the players are.
No. This is the Nubs locker room.
This is like for the maintenance guys or whatever?
Yeah, either that or people that are doing some.
Probably the mascots change in there.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. But it's warm?
Oh, it's warm.
Yeah. This is officially the coldest I've ever been broadcasting. Not that anyone cares, but just so you know.
I think it is. Yeah. But it is day one at the Masters, and we wanted to dive into the Masters, maybe do our official picks here. If you want to chime in with your pick, 800-636-1067. Sergio Garcia won it last year.
Right.
And that was after Sergio had kind of said that he was never going to win a major,
He'd kind of lamented
punted on himself.
For a few years, he had just kind of said, you know what, maybe I'm just not cut out to win a major. It's just too difficult.
And I would say that
it's frustration.
The 2 years prior, my opinion as a casual golf fan, there was kind of the Justin Spieth takeover for a while where he was dominating.
The Jordan Spieth takeover?
Jordan Spieth takeover for a little while. But it's kind of been like guys – will take over for a while. Unlike Tiger Woods, who dominated for a decade plus, you would have Jason Day be number one in the world, and then you would have
Rory McIlroy, George
Spieth. McIlroy for like a year or two.
Dustin Johnson for the last year or so. Although Justin Thomas is right there.
Yeah,
he won a bunch
of tournaments last year.
Yeah.
So, but all of those guys have done well in the last 5 years, so I would say there are a lot of guys who could win. I'm just going to go with Steve Sands' pick yesterday on the show from the Golf Channel. I'll go with McIlroy.
I think
it's been a popular pick.
I think it's a great pick. Yeah. There are so many guys. There are probably six or seven guys that you could easily make the argument that they could win this week. I know Justin Rose is in great form, and a lot of people are picking him. Of course, he lost last. He was in the playoff. With Sergio.
Yeah.
I
don't think Rose has ever missed a cut at the Masters.
He's another one.
Yeah.
Rory's a great pick. Jordan Spieth's starting to come around a little bit, even though everyone's just crushing his putting.
Although he missed, he had 4-3 putts last week in Houston, but for the most part, he putted pretty well.
Right. So who's your official pick?
It's difficult. I
want to hear from you, 800-636-1067.
I think it could be Rory, it could be Dustin Johnson, who people are just sleeping on, who's number one
but
in the world.
But if you had to write a name down
where you could
win $1 million if it hits, who are you writing down?
I honestly would be split. I guess I would write down – maybe I would write down Rory McIlroy.
So you're going with McIlroy. How about you, Jason? Nobody's taking – is anybody taking Sergio Garcia to repeat?
No. Sergio's actually really struggled putting this year. I think Sergio in 11 rounds might have something like 15 three-putts or something. He's just not putting well enough to win at Augusta. Now, maybe he'll find – recapture some magic. Certainly capable of it. But I don't think Sergio would be a popular pick right now.
Yeah.
Now, you have a bunch of pools, so I'm sure you've picked several. But if you had to write just one down to win $1 million, Jason, who are you writing down?
You know, it's hard to go away from Dustin for a couple of reasons. One, no one's talking about him.
Wayne Gretzky's son-in-law?
Is correct.
That who you're talking about?
No one's giving him any shine. Everyone's talking about Phil and Tiger and some of the younger guys. No one's, and, of course, Dustin didn't play last year because he – slipped on the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
But in the 2 years previous to that, he finished fourth and sixth. Now, one stat that you have to look at when it comes to the Masters is three-putt avoidance. He just doesn't three-putt. And Sergio last year when winning it, three-putted once in 73 holes.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're not a three-putter, if you're going to get up and down and you're going to make pars and birdies, and you know he's obviously long enough to birdie the par fives and maybe some eagle some, you have to look at Dustin.
So your pick is Dustin Johnson.
I think it's a great pick.
Any of those guys can win. It's kind of an easy pick because he's number one in the world, but when you look at that stat, three-putt avoidance, he's number one on tour in three-putt avoidance.
Brandel Chamblee was also touting
the
lack of double bogeys from winners. Mm-hmm. That in the last, 18 Masters, maybe only three guys have had a double bogey the week they've won.
Mm-hmm.
If you could stay away from a big number – you can almost write a person off if they double a hole. So let's say you throw one in the water on 12 and you end up with a 5. It can almost eliminate you. You got to stay away from the big numbers. The other thing that it seems to be key at Augusta is taking advantage of the par 5s. I think the stat I heard yesterday was the average winner over maybe, let's say, the last 10 years or so is 7 under on the par 5s, 8 under, something like that. So you got to go at least 2 under on the par 5s every day. Every day you got to get at least 2 under.
And it always comes down to the back 9 on Sunday, too. So I don't think anybody's going to run away and hide with this tournament. I think they're going to have to make birdies on the back 9 on Sunday. And it should be – it should be electric. I mean, it really should be fun to watch. There should be a handful of guys in the mix on Sunday.
Right.
But Dustin, again, think about that stat last year. Sergio Garcia had 1 3-putt in 73 holes because he played the extra hole in the playoff. That is incredible on those greens.
Did you watch his sit-down with Tom Rinaldi? I happened to catch 2 or 3 minutes of Dustin Johnson and kept it on there. And I learned something.
It's pretty good because he's a dullard.
I learned something.
Rinaldi's good.
He is in a class with Tiger Woods and Jack Nicklaus of the only guys to win at least one tournament every year for 10 years.
That's crazy. That shows you how dominant he can be.
I didn't think he was that silly.
No, he's
silly. I knew he was silly now, but I didn't know that he was that silly.
Oh, yeah.
800-636-1067, your chance to chime in. We want to hear your Masters pick. Nobody's taking Tiger Woods. Nobody's taking Sergio Garcia. Let's go to Rod, who's in Fairfax. Rod, you're on with the Junkies, broadcasting live from Nats Park.
Hey, guys. I'd take Justin Rose. He's in great form right now. Hate to say, but Tiger's got a pretty good chance. I mean, his short game right now is on fleek.
Why would you hate to say that?
Beyond that, how old are you? You shouldn't say on fleek. Are you 15? How old are you?
I'm 33.
33. Right. You just 33. Dropped on Fleek.
I didn't even catch that.
I don't even know what on Fleek is.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, go ahead.
But why would you say you hate to say Tiger has a chance to win? Tiger's the most compelling, interesting, fascinating golfer in the world. Why would you say that?
Just not a fan?
I just don't want to sound like that guy. That's all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, it's not easy to win back-to-back Masters. I mean, last time it happened, I think Tiger did it. It just doesn't happen. I mean, so I think that's why we don't pick Sergio.
Well, I think he's also not in great form. You know, anytime you're picking guys in your weekly pool, you try to pick guys that are playing well.
Yeah. Well, he took some time off because he had a kid.
Right.
So I think he could go out there and play very well.
Now, I'll say this, and I'll go on record. You know, I'm a huge Tiger fan, and I said this yesterday on the show. My number one choice, though, to win the event is Freddie Couples at 59. And if he wins the event, I promise you I will do the show naked and afraid, okay? Butt naked. The NBC
that's
Sports
not a reward
people.
For us.
Okay, no, but you can joan on me. It's not like it's something that's good for you. It's you can make fun of me.
But you know what? It's easy for him to throw these outlandish statements out there because it's not going to happen.
Exactly. Yeah. It's
plus,
not going to happen,
even
but
when
it is my number
happen.
One choice.
All right, get it.
Okay? I want Freddie to win. My number two choice would be Tiger, and then my number three choice would be Phil Mickelson.
You know what? That's a good question. I don't know who my number one would be. The Tiger story would be incredible.
One of the great comebacks of all time.
But I really like guys like Rose. I like Rory. I want to see Rory get the career Grand
Slam. You
don't
want to see Rory win over Tiger. No way.
I do. I like Rory. I think Rory. I like Rory a lot.
He's all right.
He's a much better person than Tiger.
I know, but I just ugh.
But I mean, most of these guys are just okay. I mean, none of them have real dynamic personalities. If you're looking for the personalities,
I'm just saying who's
you just throw them all in a hat.
Yeah, I know.
I'm talking about guys I enjoy watching play.
Right.
And so Rory's definitely one. Rose is another. DJ, although I think he could play very well and maybe win it.
You wouldn't want Phil Mickelson.
I'd like to see Ricky break through.
What about Phil Mickelson? If you had a choice between Ricky
Jason
and Phil
wants
Mickelson.
Like 20 guys to win.
No, I am a fan of a lot of different players. So I would
– like
if Phil won, that'd be an incredible story.
Yeah. Yeah. No, the number one story would be Freddie Couples winning at 59.
Now, if someone like
is
Charlie –
is he the oldest guy in the field?
There's no,
probably somebody older.
I think O'Mara's still in it. O'Mara's like 61,
playing.
I think, or so.
Yeah, go for the oldest guy.
Larry Mize probably still playing.
Those guys have no shot.
Yeah.
Here's a great stat about Freddie Couples. Freddie Couples, since he's turned 50, 6 out of the 7 years has finished in the top 20 at Augusta and hasn't missed a cut. He's unbelievable.
He's probably going to make the cut.
Yeah.
He's
probably going to finish in the top 20.
But he's not going to win.
He's not going to win.
Yeah.
Valdez and I are making a bet today as him as the first round leader. At plus,
it's not a horrible bet.
I think it's 125-1.
Oh, well, that wow. You're not that great odds though. I would want more. I would want more.
It gets me sized.
Just how much did you
125 put to one isn't great odds.
Well, you got to get
what are you gonna put. Like,
what
you're
is
put
it?
Five,
yeah.
You're gonna put
plus
$12,500.
That's 125.
You're gonna put $5 on it.
Oh, I thought it was gonna. So you got to put up $100 to win 125.
No,
is that
put
up $10 and it'll win a ton of money.
Like, is it $10 to win $12.50?
A dollar, you win 125.
Okay, well then I like that. Yeah, then I like that. Yeah. Sure. Sure.
I don't think that's going to happen either. But, you know, we'll see. We'll see how the old guys play.
By the way, some of
there's too many good young players for Freddie Couples to be a first-round leader.
You know, we broke the news that that Rizzo agrees to his contract extension, and Chelsea James is reporting it is through the 2020 season.
So that's
good.
Two-year extension.
Yeah.
And the Nats put out a press release. Since he has taken over as the GM and president of the Nationals, they have a record of 559 and 418. Which is a 572 winning percentage, second only to the Dodgers at 574 during that
stretch.
They're
right there with the Dodgers. Yeah, that's incredible. Well-deserved.
I know many times he's come on our show and talked about when we've talked about the disappointments in the playoffs, and he's talked about, look, this
their
team
record,
has had
there.
Their record in the last 3 or 4 years.
That's all you can do.
5 years.
As a general manager,
years.
All you can do is set the team up to win, and then it's just up to the guys to,
exactly, to execute.
To pull through. And you got to have good fortune on your side. I mean, you know, they just haven't had enough good fortune in the playoffs.
Yeah. We will talk more baseball. Eddie Matz, who, of course, covers Major League Baseball for ESPN, is scheduled to join us at 8. And Mike Rizzo, who has been extended through 2020, the GM and president of the Nationals, joins us at 9 o'clock here on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From Nats Park, Nats opening day later today with Steven Strasburg on the mound as they take on the New York Mets. And we are quite cold here.
I tried to do but the, here's the thing. Tried to do the show without my hoodie. I can't.
Yeah, I went without the hoodie for a couple segments.
I can't do it.
I told Drab, though, so what happens is right after we do a segment, we run into this little locker room, which is very warm, and we are there for like 3 or 4 minutes. And we're going to probably miss a couple segments later in the show because it feels so good inside this little locker room, right? And we're just doing anything we can to do to stay warm. But as we're walking back, and right when you walk out of that locker room, you feel the cold wave. By the way, it's not 10 degrees here. Like I was telling Drab, I was like, we're such wussies because there are people, we see all these cranes behind us. And there are people that work outside every day. And they're up like,
so they're crazy.
They're 8 stories high.
I know.
All nuts. Right, whatever.
They're doing hard labor.
Whatever.
You know what? They're cold too.
That's their fault.
I guarantee they're complaining about
That's
it.
That's their fault.
And by the way, JP said he wasn't going to complain, remember?
Yeah, it's not cold.
He's complaining.
I knew this was going to be terrible, and it's worse than I thought.
No, no, no.
Just so you know.
I'm the one.
I knew it was going to be terrible.
No. I'm the one who called
you
it.
You initially called it.
I initially got it out there.
You got me thinking about it.
Yeah.
And then last night I had trouble sleeping because I knew it was going to be awful.
Right.
It's worse than I thought. It's freezing here. Yeah. Nose is dripping. We're frozen. I got a blanket, long underwear. I can't feel my fingers. This is miserable. I'm not going to lie. I can't sugarcoat it.
I agree.
We just can't.
Come on, 10 o'clock.
But I mean,
get here.
Isn't it amazing? Like, as I said to Drab, we are the biggest wusses of all time. We're doing a radio show for 4 hours.
No, you know what?
And
that's
cold.
An outdoor job.
I was like,
this is not an outdoor job. This job is supposed to be silly 70 degrees.
You could be out there like him cutting the grass. Yes,
okay,
you know what?
That's a terrible job. I have a good job. That's a terrible job.
By the way, didn't you?
Today, my job's terrible.
When you worked at a golf course.
Yeah, that was a terrible
job. When
you were
17 years old, you worked at Woodmore.
Yes.
I don't even know if it was called Country Club, whatever.
Yes.
You worked at Woodmore. Didn't you botch one of the greens or something because the
– Well, I didn't use a mower like that. I used a ride-on Toro, and I forgot. So when you do the laps, when you made the turn, I forgot to lift the mowers. And so the whole turn was green level. And, of course, it immediately brown, burnt, coming, destroyed.
Superintendent, Super was bitter. So bitter.
If you did that at Augusta, they literally
would kill you.
Shoot you.
They would kill you.
They would shoot you, what I did to the green.
You just made the green bigger.
No, imagine the spread. The cut was about that wide, and I took a wide turn, and I forgot to lift the mowers.
Can you imagine if someone did that at Amen Corner?
Can you imagine?
Like on a Sunday morning?
The superintendent at the time was his name, Harry Allen. He never let me cut greens again after that.
I wouldn't.
I mean, I forgot to lift the mower. Sorry. I was concerned about the big turn I had to make.
And you weren't even a distracted driver. That leads us to this distracted driving story.
Yeah.
So Montgomery County, where three of the junkies live, Jason, of course, lives in Ashburn, but three of us live in Montgomery County. I guess they are trying to crack down on distracted driving. And I was telling Drab over the break, I actually received a distracted driving ticket in my neighborhood.
Right.
Because I forgot what I was supposed to get
when
at the grocery store. It literally, I drove to the grocery store, which is about 7 blocks away from my house. And I'm driving to Harris Teeter, and I forgot. And for whatever reason, sometimes I get in the car, and the Bluetooth doesn't fire up, right? So it didn't fire up. And I just picked up my phone, and I called my wife to figure out what I was supposed to get at the grocery store because I have a terrible short-term memory. And right in that moment, I got pulled over for distracted driving.
Here's the thing I don't understand. And listen, we shouldn't be on our phones. I'm going to probably watch the Masters on my drive home.
I can't believe you're doing that.
That's a show.
Now,
I have it out of the corner of my big laptop, and I just kind of glance at it.
Oh, so you're going to have your laptop.
I have my laptop.
Some people
the
have.
Cops do it.
So driving home today.
Some people have
here,
a little thing
you can watch
on masters.org.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Some people have something where you can, like a little stand that you can put your phone
in. Well, that's
in.
My question.
Right.
I often use, because my navigation system in my car, I don't love. The navigation on my phone, you know, Waze or the Google Maps or whatever, is much better.
Right.
So I often use my phone for my navigation. They're going to pull me over. I'm just going to say, I mean, I often do it anyway. I'm just using navigation.
Do you pick it up? Or
sometimes,
do you have a stand?
Sometimes I got to change it. I got to go, go to whatever.
I don't even know. What's the law in Virginia on handheld? Can you actually make a phone call in Virginia? Is that legal?
Yeah.
In Virginia, it is?
You can make a phone call there.
What about Maryland?
No.
Can't do it in Maryland.
You can if it's hands-free, if it's Bluetooth.
No, I'm saying, but you can't keep it up to your ear.
Right. So apparently,
I keep my phone down low, so there's no chance.
I do too, but I pick it up and I'll if I change the GPS I'm gonna check an email sometimes at a light. Who doesn't do that? Everybody does that at a light. I'm gonna guess 90% of drivers the way we are today.
Everyone does it.
At a light.
Everyone does it.
You pick it up. Now, obviously, when you're moving,
including,
you shouldn't.
Including the cops, by the way.
The cops are on their computers the whole time.
Well, by the way,
Trav said he can't remember the last time that he was driving where he didn't check Twitter.
Well, when you're bored, like when you're
at a light. He's psycho.
No. I'm 395.
Yeah.
You're the same way. I bet you
the same don't
way.
Lie.
I do a
air.
Lot less than I used to, but at every intersection. I mean every intersection because I'm bored and my mind needs to do something. I will pick up. I want to see what's going on. I just see what's going on. What's going on?
Yeah, what'd you miss?
And then the light goes. You usually put it down and drive.
And I feel guilty while I'm checking Twitter on the highway, and I tell myself I shouldn't do this. And then I look over, and every other person is on their
phone. Everyone else is doing
on
it.
The highway.
Right. But it's bad. Distracted driving caused the deaths of more than 800 people just last year. Now, and I don't even know if that's just in Virginia or that's across the country. It's probably just in Virginia.
When's the last time you had a close call? It's a lock that you have close calls if you're checking your phone.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm pretty incredible at it. I'm pretty good
just
at it.
Just takes once. Yeah. One time.
You're right. I've had a moment where, but I mean, for the most part, but I think I'm an exceptional, and most of you all aren't at my level. But I actually think I'm pretty great
so
at it.
So you're going to watch the Masters on your phone?
On my computer. I'll have my computer. Just like it'd be like I'm a policeman.
From 10:20-ish to 11.
On my passenger seat. I will use this for my Wi-Fi or whatever, to put it over here, and then I'll have it, and then, when I'm driving, see what Tiger's doing.
All right.
Who's not going to do that? You think I'm going to miss Tiger?
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067, you can call us on the Hadid Carb Cleaning List.
But again,
lines.
I am
we shouldn't glorify it because they're trying to crack down
on
distracted driving.
But you're right.
Like, if you saw your son, who's now a new driver, just got his license, your daughter, they all are brand new drivers, all with 1 year of experience or less. And if you saw them with a laptop and a phone, you would be distraught.
By the way, it's a learned behavior. They're watching him do it.
They know. They
when
know
he's
better.
Driving, they're I in the back seat. They're seeing
I
him
actually
do
think
it.
The kids know a little better, to be honest. I think they do know a little bit better.
My daughter would like, she gets bitter if I ever even pick up the phone in the car. And sometimes I have to pick it up.
The kids are better. The kids are better probably than people of our generation, to be honest with you. And I know, I don't know how your kids are. This is a whole separate topic. But my kids don't even really my son, he doesn't even really text. He's a guy. He doesn't even really text. He's on his phone, but he's playing games. But he's not really a texter.
Well, the one thing that you can do is, and I don't use the feature. I think you use the feature, is just talk into your phone to text.
Yeah.
Voice
don't misspell
texting.
All the time,
texting
right?
Never works.
Spend
more time correcting it.
No, I will say this. It's a pain in the butt.
Yeah.
But I do use it a lot.
Yeah.
I saw you do it in Florida. Yeah. You're just like.
Yeah, I voice text or I'll voice text, directions home or whatever. Yeah, I do that.
Again, I want to thank the officer who pulled me over this morning on the Dulles Toll Road.
Not for distracted driving, just straight up speeding.
Just speeding. 71 and a 55.
You were fully engaged.
I was. I told him I was going to work. I was late for work. He said, he looked at my ID and my registration and said, I know where you're going to work.
Right.
So he was a listener. Thank you for Officer Friendly being a listener this morning on the Dulles Toll Road.
He threw you a bone.
Because that would have probably been a $150 ticket, if not more, and I probably would have been late.
They can write him up pretty quickly. They can write him up pretty quickly. I think you would have made it.
All right, maybe not.
As somebody who's gotten his share of tickets, I think you would have made it.
But, save me a couple points for my license and a couple $100, I'm sure.
But they're saying, so here's what happened. It was in Bethesda, and they did it yesterday morning. It was the intersection of Ryan and Goldsboro Road. I know where that is. you know, we drive by that all the time. They pulled over 65 drivers in just under 2 hours.
And how much is the ticket?
Wow.
Does it say?
I don't know what it is.
I want to say I got a $25 ticket.
But they're saying they're going to be doing it randomly in different locations. And if they see
someone
that is distracted, they'll pull you over. And I think it's fine. You know, we all deserve it. You know, you catch me driving on the way home watching the Masters, you deserve to pull me over.
The one thing about distracted driving that I don't think they crack down, but I actually think it's almost equivalent, is all of us get, you know, fast food. And when you actually think about it, when you're driving,
you're crack down on eating a cheeseburger.
Well, when you think about it, when you're driving, okay, yeah, you could be checking your phone and you're looking at it. Your mind.
I'm
is
guilty
going there.
Of a thigh
but,
driving.
But if you're driving,
are you a thigh driver?
Of course, I've driven with my thighs before.
Yeah, I'm silly.
But you know, you drive. You got a.
JP's a terrible driver.
You got a burger.
He
you
just
got
is.
Fries. You got a soda.
Yeah.
Like so, usually, I will do my setup before I get going on the highway. Like I'll actually pull up in the drive-thru. And then I'll set up my burger right here. I'll put the fries in a cup holder, the drink in a cup holder, so I'm
usually
good to go. Well,
I'll tell you this. 3 days a week, I don't know if this is distracted driving, but I will drive home and eat Chipotle.
Yeah.
Now, that's difficult.
Or Cava.
Why don't you
with
just
– fork?
I have the Cava bowl right here, and I just again, I'm an exceptional driver.
Why don't you just
I'm like Dale Earnhardt.
When you go through a drive-thru, why don't you just wait, just eat your burger right after the drive-thru,
sometimes
like
I
in the parking
that.
Lot?
No, but when I go to Cava after a workout, I just have to eat it. I can't let it sit there for 30 minutes. It's just calling me.
Eric, you
right there at the restaurant.
Why don't you just eat inside the Cava?
Yeah, just eat there.
Because I'm always in a race to get home.
Eric, you realize you describe you compared yourself
won't see a race until 10 o'clock.
To a race car driver who crashed and killed himself, right? You said you're like Dale Earnhardt.
I didn't hear the story. Yeah.
Right. That's,
listen,
that's
I know fully that this will all come back to haunt me, that I will donk myself off driving, and that you will play these clips and mock me. I understand. But I'm going to try not to.
Some people can do
try
it
and stay alive.
And some can't. Eric and I... We're next level. We're the John Stocktons of distracted driving. Silly court vision.
Do you realize he's
I have silly vision?
Well, hold on a second. I'm going to dispute that.
I'm not looking at my food.
He's been in more accidents than anybody I know.
No, hold on. I'm going to dispute that with this guy. I'm in the car going to the airport from West Palm Beach, leaving the Hilton in West Palm, going to the airport.
Yeah.
Right? And he's on his phone or something. We're coming into a turn-only lane, right? There's the green light, but there's a turn-only lane left.
Yeah.
Red light. And he's speeding up on the line of parked cars.
Right.
And if it wasn't for me, we would have rear-ended this car, smashed into it, probably killed him, and hurt ourselves.
For 5 seconds, I knew what it felt like to be Jason's daughter and to be screamed at for nothing. The biggest overreactor on the planet.
Oh, my God. He's such a liar.
100 feet away from this car.
He's such a liar. He was speeding. He was looking at his phone. He didn't even have a clue what he was doing.
Right.
He was going to rear-end this
well,
person.
Well, the worst thing you could do is when you start pulling.
You know you're a terrible
when you
driver.
When you start pulling up on a parked car or a car that stopped suddenly.
Stopped at the light.
Yeah, I've been in so many accidents. I actually have like PTSD when I start.
He's bragging about his driving, but again, I don't know anybody who's been in more accidents than you.
Listen,
starting when you were 17 years old.
Right, wasn't my fault though. I've been in a lot of accidents. Most have been my fault. None of them the result of distracted driving.
Most have been
no
his fault.
Poor driving.
Not true.
Not distracted.
Not true. You ran into those old people at intersections because you were changing your radio station.
I mean, is that considered?
Yes. Of course, it's distracted.
Who doesn't change the radio station?
Now that's
honest,
against the law.
The
Come
biggest
on.
Problem was.
I'm not
yeah,
saying
no,
it's against the law.
Not about to change the station.
Not against the law, but
no,
if you're looking
problem.
Down at an no. intersection,
you know what caused the problem? The
I
old man stopped in the yellow. He was halfway through and he stopped.
You can't,
that caused the
you
accident.
You can't blame it on the people in front of you.
Well, you're right. I got the ticket for it, but it believe me,
ticket.
It was his fault.
You also crushed it, but you did make it to the golf course on time.
I did make my tee time. Officer Friendly drove my clubs over.
Eric, what if
made
another?
It.
So, thank God for Officer Friendly.
There's so many friendly officers.
They're the best.
Eric, yeah. What if Stevie gets pulled over today for distracted driving, and he tells you he just wanted to watch Tiger? Would you be bitter at him?
Well,
he'd actually be happy because he's bitter. His son isn't into.
Yes, my son has no interest in anything I'm interested in. my son wants. He just is repulsed by me. I think. No, listen, he knows I'd be very stern with him about distracted driving, that sort of thing, of course. Do as I say, not as I do, of course.
All right, should mention Eddie Matt's going to join us at 8.
Eddie Matt's.
Covers Major League Baseball for ESPN.
Is he
going to
be here?
No, I believe he's just calling in.
Oh, he's just calling in?
On his Bluetooth because he's in Maryland, he told me.
Oh, okay.
And Mike Rizzo, of course, we broke the news at 7 o'clock, who's been extended now till 2020. The president and GM of the Nationals joins us live from Nats Park at 9 a.m.
People just walking in front of the cameras.
Well, we are back, broadcasting live from Nats Park. Nats home opener coming up later today with Steven Strasburg on the mound. Nats lost yesterday with Max Scherzer on the mound. They're now 4-2. Take on the Mets today. We'll talk to Mike Rizzo at 9 o'clock. Eddie Matz covers baseball for ESPN, going to join us at 8 o'clock. But we were talking about distracted driving before the break. Matt from Front Royal has an interesting story I heard.
Is it an interesting story, or is he just going to yell at
us? No, that was the cop who had the interesting story. But Matt from Front Royal is on the line, though.
Sorry. See? The cop, by the way, said that he once pulled somebody over for distracted driving who had a blender going on in the car.
Gotta get that morning smoothie, buddy.
He's making a smoothie while driving.
And they pulled him over for that?
You don't think that's distracted driving?
Well, it's no different than like eating a burger or something. I mean, or eating my
cava. Well, not if you're actually working the blender. Like,
you didn't say drinking the smoothie, you're making it.
You have the blender plugged in, I guess, to what, the cigarette lighter?
Yeah. I mean, I guess. Listen, I'm pro it. If you are distracted driving, you get pulled over for it, you deserve it, myself included, obviously.
All right, let's go to Matt, Front Royal. Matt, you're on with the Junkies. How you doing this morning?
Good. How about you,
Matt, are you there?
What's up, man?
Doing great. Yeah, what's up?
So, you guys are on break. I'm listening to you. I'm in traffic on 66 heading into D.C. There's two cars beside me, and we're staying side by side. The guy's all over the phone texting. He's got it up to his ear at one point. And next thing you know, he rear-ends the car in front of him. And that was when you were on the turn about cutting the green. And then the next thing you know, you guys start talking about distracted driving, and I was like, wow.
Yep, it happens.
Well, I mean, it does. Look, it does happen all the time. All you have to do is just look around, and you see it.
Yep.
And that's why in Bethesda they were able to pull over 65. Think about that number. That's like one every 2 minutes. 65 drivers in under 2 hours. That's incredible.
I mean, we're all guilty of it. I used to be more guilty of it when we worked in Fairfax, and I would drive on 66, and it was stop and go a lot of times when we'd be stuck in traffic. Mm-hmm. And that's what happens is I actually would do it more often when it was very slow, and you're just kind of putting along. But that's actually a day, like I had close calls because you all of a sudden it's just like stop, go, stop, go, stop, go.
Right.
I think the highway texting and driving or checking Twitter, which Draft says he's an expert at, is actually somewhat more safe because there's less quick stops.
No, but you got to be careful.
I was driving back. Zone.
I was driving back from Virginia Beach this weekend, and I literally think this is a true story. I think I saved about 10 lives because we were on 95. We were coming back, and I will say I've gotten in my share of accidents. There's no question about it. But one thing I am not is a tailgater. I do not. I drive pretty slow. Right, and I'm in the middle lane.
People who
of three.
Do that are so annoying.
What?
Tailgaters.
I'm not a tailgater. My wife is a tailgater, and somehow she's able to navigate it. She's on that brake all the time. I don't know how she does it.
Although people who are in the left lane, if you have a tailgater on your ass, what are you supposed to do?
Pull over.
Of course. And I'm people who don't do that are idiots.
I'm never in the left lane unless I'm passing someone, because I don't do that. Right. I'm always in the middle lane if there's three. Right. So we're coming back, and I believe at this little stretch, it was three lanes. I'm in the middle lane, and I can see up ahead that all of a sudden the cars are starting to pile up, right? They're starting to slow down. You know, it's like that annoying thing. You're coming back from a weekend, Virginia Beach, 95. It's not
right
always – you're not always going 70.
Right, you're not flowing.
Sometimes you're hitting these traffic jams, and then you get free, and everyone gets excited. And so they hit the gas.
And 2 miles later –
2 miles later, they start to slow down. So I see ahead a car – hits the brakes. Then another car slams on the brakes. Then the third one is about to plow into it. I see this whole thing developing, and what's going to happen? These cars are going to start swerving into me, right? So I panic. I lay on my horn, right? I'm telling you, I alerted the entire left lane. I saved a dozen lives. Not one car made contact with the other car. I'm telling you, I'm a hero. You think Danny Amendola or Julian Edelman did? I'm a hero. I saved 10 lives. I laid on my horn for 10 seconds and alerted everyone to the drama that was ahead. And no accident occurred. And it would have been a high-speed accident. Trust me, cars were going at least 60-plus miles an hour. But it's just one of those things that happens all the time where you're driving along, you think you're good, and it just takes one guy to be slow to react, And then all of a sudden, you got a 10-car
pileup.
You
essentially were a good Samaritan.
I saved everyone. Listen, I did it for my own good. I think by hitting the horn, it alerted everyone to the drama that it was, because no one's paying attention. Everyone's just going, they think they're on cruise control.
I almost never hit the horn.
I never do either.
Hitting the horn.
It might be the first time in 10 years I've hit it.
Yesterday, I actually was faced with a dilemma. I don't like to hit the horn because you never know how the person in front of you might react.
Yeah, I'm not going to say, go, dummy, and hit the horn.
And I had a guy.
I bet Jason hits his horn all the time.
I had a guy.
Yeah, you're a horn. You're
I had a
horn
guy
blower. You're a
who
horn blower.
Easily could have taken a right turn on red.
Right.
And I'm sitting behind him, and there were no cars coming at this intersection from the other side. And I just, I sat there for a minute. I'm like, why is he not taking a right turn on red?
Right.
And I don't know if he was distracted, what the hell he was doing. And then eventually, I mean, literally no cars going at this intersection. The other way, it's like, what is he doing?
Right.
And then I look at the signs, because every once in a while there's a sign that says no right turn on red.
Right.
There wasn't the sign.
Because
it's
he's
like,
clueless.
What was this guy doing?
Most people are clueless out there. They're bad drivers, or they're clueless.
But I don't like to honk the horn just because – you never know how people are going to react.
Yeah, of course. All right, let me tell you what's going on in the world of Hollywood and entertainment. I know we've got a few minutes here.
We got Eddie Matz at 8. Talk to Eddie.
I see the Channel 4 people are here. They're our colleagues now, you know, with us at NBC Sports
like
Washington.
Who's here?
Unyang's over there, and I talked to their producer. And I think they want to shoot something with us.
Well,
we should get on and maybe have her sit down for 5 minutes or so at some point before they leave. But in the meantime, let me tell you what's going on in the world of Hollywood and entertainment. One of the lead stories, and I'm trying to give him the benefit of the doubt here, but Howard Stern is getting killed right now, okay? Because anybody here is a Howard Stern fan, and I've been a longtime listener of Stern Show, probably 25-plus years.
Right.
I'm a huge fan. His engineer, Scott, right, who's goofed on for 30 years, his wife apparently has been battling cancer for 5 years, right?
Wow.
Colon cancer, some other issues. And it's gotten to the point where Scott, I guess, had to set up a GoFundMe page and was asking for $50,000 to help with the medical expenses for his wife.
And that's a drop in the bucket for Stern.
$50,000. Stern makes $90 million, okay, a year.
A year, $90 million?
Yes, yes.
Wow.
No,
he's
you can't
filthy,
even fathom.
Filthy, dirty
you
rich.
Can't, he's, I think,
can't fathom
I
that.
I think he's got a place in the Hamptons that costs like $40 million, and he's got a place in Palm Beach that costs like $40 million. I mean, it's unbelievable the amount of money this guy has generated. But he's being killed because, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt and just say, man, it's one of those things where Scott's wife's been battling this for 5 years. He probably didn't know it was to this extent, but he set up this GoFundMe page, and like ex-Stern staffers like Artie Lang immediately step up, so they start donating, they start retweeting. Howard hasn't brought this up yet. And so he's being killed for not donating, for not mentioning the cause on his show. Meanwhile, everyone else, even rival shows, are tweeting about it, promoting it, and trying to help Scott the engineer raise money. They did hit the 50,000 threshold within a few hours. But there are family insiders that are trashing Stern for not bringing it up
and
not donating.
And they know for a fact that Howard did not donate.
Definitely did not donate. Here's what I'll say to defend him. He may not even have known the GoFundMe page was even up.
Huh.
You know what I mean? It was only up for a few hours before the goal was met. So I'm going to say that in his defense, but needless to say, it's not a good look. So who knows? Who knows what's going on there?
He's probably donated since.
Who knows? Maybe there's a secret reason why he wouldn't. I will say
this. How long has the guy been his producer?
30-some years. Not a producer, engineer.
30-some
years. Yeah. Long, long time. But Artie Lang, who's known for having a huge heart, was one of the
very first
to step up, donate, say he's going to do a comedy show to raise money for her too, retweeted to his followers. So the good news is they did reach their $50,000 goal, and hopefully that'll help pay the medical expenses, and hopefully she'll be able to obviously overcome all of this. Carrie Underwood is still in the news. I still find this somewhat fascinating. Remember she put out there a few months ago that she had some sort of accident at home where she slipped and fell, and she acknowledged that she had 50 stitches to her face, and she warned her fans that she may not look the same.
But then she looked pretty good in that picture.
But then somebody ran into her at like a spa or something, a fan, and took a picture with her.
She
looked fine.
Yeah.
So I don't understand it. But since then, she's been very cryptic on her own social media and hasn't revealed her face until yesterday. And she Instagrammed a photo of her at the studio, obviously working on a new album, but it only shows the left side of her face. And she still looks gorgeous,
right.
Beautiful. So people are, what's going on here? Is she really sort of disfigured? Is it really something really awful? We saw the first photo at the massage place or whatever, yeah, with a fan. She looked fine.
Looks
you see
fine
this
there.
Photo, she looks fine here. What is the drama?
I don't get it.
I don't get it either. So
is she still married to the hockey player?
Yes. And I think, did he come back? I think she encouraged him to come back, and I think he was re-signed at one point. Now, I'm not sure if he's still playing, but I think at one point he came back. Valdez obviously sent me the story of Paulina Gretzky.
Paulina.
Anytime.
Is Paulina at Masters? I assume she is.
Anytime there's a major event, people tend to focus on Dustin Johnson, and then anytime you think of Dustin Johnson, sites like Barstool, obviously they have to think about Paulina, his wife.
She's still dressing
provocatively.
Yeah.
Scantily clad. I hope so.
I think you could say so. She's posting on social media some unreal photos. Here is her laying out somewhere where she's wearing very
nothing.
Little.
Looks like she just has a thong on.
Very little. And putting that
topless
on somewhere on her Snapchat or Instagram story or something. And people are going crazy. So Dustin Johnson either fell down the stairs last year or he fell down messing around with that. Who knows?
Well, then we heard the stupid rumors that came out after Dustin Johnson fell, that he got into a fight with Brooks Koepka because Brooks Koepka was messing around with Paulina.
His, right.
Such
you
crap.
Heard all kinds of stuff.
That was such crap.
Yeah. I heard that he got hurt. Like
I think Cahill bought into that.
I just laugh how you know all the golf rumors.
Valdez, I think, bought into
didn't
it,
didn't I
too.
Hear something, though, that they also –
Valdez, you know you bought into that.
There
of
was
course.
A rumor that he got hurt, like, moving a jet ski or something. I mean,
well, that was before the drug suspension.
Right, yeah. Right. That's what the cover was.
The cover was
the alleged
that he hurt
drug
his back
suspension. Yeah, right.
Right. Because Dustin Johnson can pick up a jet ski by himself.
I mean, you would think. who knows? All right, so there you go. Those are the big stories. Last but not least, I guess if you're interested, for those of you that used to watch MTV back when we did, Kristen Cavallari, who's married to Jay Cutler, she was – what was the name of that show? The Hills or whatever? What was she on?
Laguna Beach.
Laguna
the
Beach.
Hills Have Eyes?
No, Laguna Beach. Apparently, she and Jay may be getting their own reality show, or at least she will.
Makes sense. I actually saw her on TV yesterday. I was just flipping through the channels. There's a show – I think it's Rachel Ray, or there's a bunch of chefs on the show. I don't know what that show's called. Is it the, might be called The Chew or something like that?
I don't know. I haven't seen
and
that
I was
one.
Just flipped through the channels, and she was on. I was like, why is she on TV?
Apparently,
makes sense.
She's got a new
pimping the product.
She's got a new store called Uncommon James, and they're going to use this series on E to document the opening of the
there
store, etc.
Yeah, she's in promotion.
She's sort of, somewhat of a mogul.
Promotion mode.
Yeah.
All right, we are broadcasting live from Nats Park. Opening day coming up later today. I actually believe it's warming up a little bit. The sun has come out
I think I'm getting colder.
A little bit. I can't really tell.
Before I couldn't feel my fingers. Now I can't feel my toes.
So it's probably 41. It's not 36 anymore.
All right, we had the breaking news earlier in the show that Mike Rizzo has been extended through 2020, the president and GM of the Washington Nationals. He's going to join us at 9, but next, it's Eddie Matz from ESPN as we talk some baseball here on the Junkies.